It's the Quizzo Cast, a behind-the-scenes look at the questions, writers, hosts, and players of Michigan's top pub trivia community. Here are your hosts, John Gay and Tom Whitaker.
All right, guys, welcome. Here we are, Quizzo Cast, another one. John, what episode is this?
I'll take a wild guess and say 7.
All right, that's good. Maybe we'll do it individual bonus question style, and if you're close enough, you can win a beer.
There we go.
So we just had the finals. We got some guests in here from our championship team. John, tell us who we have.
So we have Dick Wolf, our champions from this past, I want to say semesters, this past...
Semester.
This past season.
In your Q's gear, taking him back to college.
We've got Mike and we've got Brian. Welcome, guys, and congratulations on winning the Quizzo Cup.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome, guys. So, team name, who are you? Tell us about the championship team. Obviously, it's bigger than just the two of you. So,
how many do you have on the team total?
We have like a rolling collective of 12 people total, but not everybody plays all the time. We have basically less than 12 people that play normally.
We usually have about like 6 to 8, four people that play every week.
How do you decide which 8 compete for the Quizzo Cup and for the money in the final? Is it just you're lucky, or whoever's done well, or whoever's played the most, or been the most reliable? How do you make that decision?
Rap battle.
Yeah.
No. No, it's by attendance. We take the people who basically consistently shown up the most over the season.
Where's home base? How often do you guys play?
Home base is Moose Winooski's for the most part.
Sometimes
we play at the Winter Garden out in Chesterfield. But Zach was our first trivia jockey, I guess.
And you're still playing. That's impressive, because Zach is the grand villain of all the hosts. We love Zach, but not everybody does.
We do?
Well, we got
See,
Mike.
That's my point.
We got Mike now, and Mark, and he's got an opinion about everything as well.
Mark's a good dude. We like Mark.
Mark's great, yeah. Definitely. Mark was at the finals, too. He was hanging out.
He was. We took some pictures with him.
Now you guys come to Avery's with me, I think, a couple of times, right?
Were you an automatic qualifier? I think we've been through that with our podcast listeners before. But so you guys had to battle your way in through the playoffs, huh?
Yeah, our first couple seasons together, we would play enough to make the top four.
It's a lot. You got to play a lot.
Yeah. You got to play a ton, and we can't play that much anymore. So we play once, twice a week, and let the chips fall where they may. And
yes.
The last several seasons, we've had to play the playoffs.
So let's start there. It's the playoffs. We're heading in, we want to go to the fall final. Where's your playoff match? Who are you battling against? How'd it shake down?
We were battling against...
Wasn't it IM Jack's trivia team?
Yeah, IM Jack's trivia team.
Others. I wasn't there. But
it was at Blarney Stone in Royal Oak.
That's a good trivia bar. That's one of my favorites. Close match, come down to the wire.
It wasn't really a close
one. Nice.
I mean, I think we won by like 5 points.
Hey, but that's, I mean, you know, for playoffs, you know.
Yeah, I mean, couple seasons ago, we lost to Knicks in 2020 by like 1 point, and we had to go to the...
Got to go to the wild card.
The wild card. And it was like the last day. It was like Sunday.
Okay.
So you never know.
Right, and then that Sunday, people are fighting to get in there.
One thing I want to jump in on real quick is you guys mentioned about playing a lot to get enough high scores to get into the playoffs and get into the championship. It's not necessary to play a ton of times in 3 months to get in. If you have enough high scores, if you do well, I think it's important for our listeners to know that you can get into the playoffs and get into the wild card just by having your high scores. It's not how many times you play, it's your highest score. So if you can show up a few times over the 3 month period and do well, you can get in as well. I don't want to scare anybody away from jumping into the league because they think they've got to play 100 times in 3 months.
But, you know, we try to make the finals a celebration. So, you know, to get in to automatically qualify, it makes it hard, you know, and then the playoff match, you got to go up against some of the best teams to work your way in there. So it is an accomplishment just to get to the finals, you know?
Right.
You got to get to the finals. Obviously, you win it because here you are now. This isn't your first win, is it?
I think we did the math. It was like 9 seasons ago. I think we've won total with this group of people under different names, 3 cups in 9 seasons. So we were facts and furious.
So we're you guys 33. We're like, we can make it into the Hall of Fame for baseball, I guess.
You guys are the Patriots of the Quizzo Cup.
Oh, get out of here. They didn't get embarrassed
like
on a
Tom
Monday
Brady,
night
so
anywhere.
Man,
it's constant with this
guy. All
right, guy.
So I was not at the Quizzo Cup finals, so I'm going to rely on the three of you to paint the scene, paint the picture here for me. So take me inside Brew Detroit, Tom.
I was going to say, just a couple weeks ago, we did the beer episode, and we talked a lot about Brew Detroit, and you heard my opinion on it. I love it, and I think I had 13 Del Reys that night. So what do you guys think of Brew Detroit? Good venue? You know, good place for you?
Yeah, it's a good venue. They do a good job of hosting the finals. I think I'm the beer guy on the team. Their pickle saison is amazing.
That works for you, then?
Yeah.
Beer guy?
Yeah.
You guys had great pop-up restaurant came in with the tacos. They were excellent.
Estos Garage, man.
Nice.
So I hosted at Red Dunn, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. Anyways, but I hosted over there before the event, and I walked over and went over to get some food, and I was like, my man, I'll just take a taco. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to sell you two. And no, man, I'll just have one taco. He goes, you want two, man. You want two.
You want dos tacos.
I didn't see anybody walking away with only one taco.
So he was hustling. So I walk away. I finish that first taco, and I'm like, ooh. My man was right. They were excellent. Like street tacos, you know, not like the, not a crunchy shell, but super greasy. Oh, it was.
Yep. Sop up all the beer in your stomach. There you go.
Yeah, I needed it. I had the Cerveza del Rey, had the tacos. Man, I had a fiesta. It was good.
And then you had a siesta afterwards.
Pretty early in the night, you guys had your eyes on the prize, right?
Kind of. I was nervous the first couple of rounds.
We're always like trying to figure out when we should double.
Right.
Because the strategy is that much more pressure when there's a giant novelty $1,000 check on the line.
Yes. But the big thing is we're always like second guessing ourselves sometimes, especially when it comes to the double. We're like, we shouldn't do that. And usually we're right when we do double, but it's like, if we keep waiting and waiting, it's like, man, we're down to the last round now. We gotta do it.
How often do you guys wait till the very last round? I feel like as a host, when I see teams waiting till the last round, you know, because I can obviously look ahead and see what it is, and I can go, you suckers, you're all going to get screwed. So when do you guys typically do it? Is there any rhyme or reason or just?
Well, we jump on it right away, obviously, when we know that we're, you know, 5 for 5 or whatever. But I think the strategy lately, more often than not, has been to be conservative and to take it sooner than later, because we are afraid, we're deathly afraid of getting stuck with just like a murderous category in the last round.
Cat breeds.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the one that went over like a lead balloon. I remember that.
They almost fired me from trivia that night at Tavern on the look on people's faces. But that was before the era of Pajama Dan. So.
Yeah, we definitely now are like, you know what? If we think we know all these, time to double.
And I think that's the right strategy to take, because like Blue Waffle Cult, one of my teams at Avery's, they almost always wait for the last round. So I'm reading off the scores and like, and they're in, you know, sixth place, but they have these, and they kind of sneak attack Tortoise in the hairstyle and come back and win. But you got to maximize your points. If you know you knew all the answers, use it so you don't lose it by taking your chances of rolling the dice on, again, cat breeds in round number 6.
Makes finals more nerve-wracking too, because you do the math and you say, so-and-so hasn't doubled yet. We're not out of the woods yet.
You're really working on everybody else's scores.
Yeah. We usually have our teammate Cherie. She's usually keeping track of the score, and then I'll be like the backup person keeping the score, and everybody's like, where are we at? Where are we at? You know?
You make a good transition there for me. So I was going to ask, so you've got one person there who's, you know, kind of tracking the scores as they're being read off. How do you divide it up? Like, who on your team has a specialty area of trivia that they're good at? Because I feel like to be successful in Quizzo, you got to have, like, a sports guy or girl or a history person. Or
guy or girl. Very 2018.
Who is good at what categories on your team?
Well, Nicole's our sports girl. No, I'm just kidding. She'll love that. She hates sports ball of all kinds. But,
Brian's our beer guy. He's our music guy for sure.
Cherie's good at presidents. Noel's good at astronomy type things.
Okay.
Mike's into politics.
Politics,
Pam,
history.
Pam is like just all around. She knows all kinds of stuff.
Pam knows a lot about everything.
Yeah.
Do you have a cornerstone of the team? Is there somebody that just...
Put him on the spot, Tom.
Yeah, why not?
Can't do it.
Really? Okay.
Maybe I'll diplomatic.
Good. Well, I mean,
we've had times where we've played and there's only been 3 people and we're like, this is going to be really tough. And we ended up winning.
But then you get all your categories.
We're like... How did this happen? Because usually we have like 6 or 8 people, you know?
All 3 corners showed up.
No, but the look in your eyes, that was a team who's trying to repeat, trying to go back to back. So you don't want to, I understand, you don't want to put a riff in the team.
Right, no, no.
Well, I'm the cornerstone, you guys. It's pretty obvious.
But yeah, I mean, it's like every time you say, our next category is sports, and half the bar will cheer and half the bar will groan, because you either have a sports person or you don't, or you have a president's person or you don't, or you have a history person or a politics person and you don't. So it's interesting to see how you split it up and how it fits into those like puzzle pieces almost as far as who is good at what.
I still argue that we have 2 people that are like our MVPs, but they always deny it, and they know who they are.
You're not gonna name them.
All right, some secrets.
They're too modest,
and they're sitting in front of us right now.
They're winking at each other right now.
They're not here.
Okay. I mean, if you come out and you play Quizzo on a regular night, it's some questions are they usually, as the rounds go, they get a little bit trickier. You know, the very first question of the night is usually just a gift. But that's not the case in the finals. How do you guys like that, like, escalated level of difficulty?
Well, it's
do you
kind
like
of
things that are hard? That did not come out right.
Yeah, that didn't sound right. We're always worried how many tweets has President Trump done, you know, the previous week when it's finals coming up.
We pay attention to the calendar, any special events, any big TV shows or like the Oscars or anything that happened in current events. We try to get ahead of the game and as far as studying for anything that might come up. Several seasons ago, that round about all of Trump's tweets, that just blindsided us.
Wait, they did a round on Trump tweets?
Oh, it was good.
It was good.
It was good.
But we struggled mightily.
Yeah, it's good.
It was the best round. There's no better rounds. It was the best.
That's good.
I only do the best rounds.
You don't do the best Trump impression, but that's okay.
Who doesn't do a Trump impression at this point?
Fair. Very fair. I don't know if you remember, or you just, you know, the victory parade has blinded you. What was your what was the most difficult round from the finals? What was the softball for you? I can go through some of the categories if you need me to.
One thing, and I think it was the very first round. I don't even know about like a whole round that threw us necessarily, except maybe one of the later ones, but I think it was in the first round. The question about the lemur, we overthought the hell out of.
You overthought a lemur question. You got it.
Yeah, I got it. That comes from the spirits round, which is a mix between booze and ghosts.
Oh God,
which pretty good. So question number four was their name a homophone for a certain nocturnal primate clad. What vegetable spirits of Roman mythology were said to be the troublesome ghosts of a family's departed? And are used as a type of devil in Dungeons & Dragons.
Check, please.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's tough, you know? Yeah, you guys had lemurs.
And somebody, Pam came up with it, and I don't think she was really serious about it. She was just throwing stuff out. We were just brainstorming primates and not knowing which ones were nocturnal.
Yeah, and she wasn't pushing it hard. And we always said from a couple seasons ago, if you know it, go with it, man. Just, like, sell it.
I have a system for when I'm fighting for an answer because sometimes, because we love each other so much, we are too meek to step on each other's toes.
We're too nice.
We're too nice.
There's no, like, you guys wouldn't pick a cornerstone. Do it.
And we're too diplomatic. For the 12 weeks of the regular season, who cares, right? But for the finals, my personal policy is I'm going to stick up and I'm going to fight for it. Basically, the way that I say it is I would lose the game by 1 point over this answer. That's how I fight
strongly about
answers.
That answer. Okay.
Yes. I'd be willing to lose by 1 point.
Didn't that cost us the cup, like, in the second?
Yeah, we lost the
second time. Because Brian said, hey, I know it's this. It was identifying, like,
Dolly
bronze statues or something like that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, on, like, a bonus round.
Yes, it was in a bonus round. And
you got to pick. Yeah, we show you all the statues. You tell us who they
and
are.
We have, like, running gags out of all our playoff games and stuff. Every one of us has answers that we knew and we didn't fight hard enough for. And we joke about them now. Dolly Parton, Bob Evans, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Dean Koontz,
They're just running gags on our team.
I've had plenty of teams who will, you know, they'll have a team name for months and months and months, and then they'll come in, they'll write down a stupid answer, and then that's their new team name.
Yeah.
So I see that happen all the time.
There's some topic of the day that's on, and people will make, for that week, that's their team name or something like
that. Right,
yeah. Sometimes they'll have, like, the most offensive thing that's been in the news in the last couple we did.
The one that comes to mind, I got to bring it up. They used to be the Bad Habits. They played at Tavern on the Main. And then there was a question about an Outkast song. And the answer ended up being Bombs Over Baghdad. And just getting all excited, they wrote Bombs Over Bombs. So I didn't give them points for it,
right.
You know. And then so forever, they were Bombs Over Bombs. So it's that kind of little
that
stuff.
That is interesting.
I mean,
one of my side hobbies on the team is thinking of alternate team names. And that's just kind of like a bit that I do. Is like somebody will say something like, kind of ambiguous or suggestive or filthy. And that's our new team name.
How did you land on Dick Wolf?
It's something we talked about for a few seasons, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if Pam was the first one to say Dick Wolf.
Because, we were Facts and the Furious. And then, what was it, like the third season we changed to
Informational Porpoises.
Informational Porpoises. Because Brian said that was his favorite.
I thought
it was clever.
I love that.
People didn't like writing it down on the slips.
And then, I think we didn't do really well in the finals or something that year. So we said, that's it. We're either changing back to Facts of the Furious or it's going to be something else. We settled on Dick Wolf.
I think Pam might have been the first person to mention it.
She's a big Law and Order fan.
And I think it was partially just because of the ambiguousness of it.
It's good. Right. It's a good name. Dick Wolf, you know?
We may be adults, but secretly we're all 12-year-old boys.
That is the vast majority of the Quizzo community.
Yes.
Whether we're hosts,
and
writers,
that's Pam
or players.
Who says that. She right. Knows. Really, inside, I'm a 12-year-old boy.
I think I kept on fighting for far more offensive names, and that's what was settled on.
Can you share any of them with us?
What's your rules here?
It is not a radio-friendly podcast. You can say whatever you like.
Yeah, you can drop an F-bomb. Fuck it.
Could we mention the one that our old team member Kelly wanted?
Yes.
Maybe.
Open your mouth. Jesus is coming.
And here I was debating whether or not I should mention the team that I had once that was Dr. Nasser, we'll see you now.
Oh! I like puns. I like, you know,
see, those
sharp
are my
jokes.
Favorite team names. Those that are just, I want the old woman who is just having dinner with her husband, not playing trivia. I want her to cringe every time I read the scores. Like, I love it.
And one of the, I don't know who it happened to. Maybe, Tom, you might know which host it happened to. But
maybe.
Keep in mind, you have to read the team name every single time. Somebody came up with the team name of, I wish this microphone was a penis.
Oh, that's been around for years.
So every host, and I wish this microphone were a penis.
If you hit me with a joke, I'm the guy with the microphone, and I'm going to turn this around on you. You're going to be team penis all night. I'm taking the whole joke away from you. Everybody's going to look at you weird. Don't try to pull a fast one on me, man. Like, I'm obviously down on my luck. I'm hosting bar trivia 3 nights a week. But you got to kick me when I'm down.
Well, I mean, that's the line I'll use on hecklers a lot. I'll say, hey, only one of us is getting the pay to be here, and it ain't you, you know?
Then you realize it's the bar back who's yelling at you.
Yeah, and it's, oh, shit. And the bar back's probably making more than we are. So before we let you guys go, what advice, without, you know, giving away any trade secrets and hurting your chances for the next season, what advice do you have for any teams that are new to the Quizzo community? Do you have any tips or tricks?
Or even a team that can't get over the edge, hasn't been
able
to
get over that hump, yeah.
Can't get over the hump, can't get into the finals, can't break in.
Bring your phones?
No.
Oh, come on. This isn't one of the other guys.
Go hire a ringer, man.
Yeah, you know what? Make smart friends. Like Mike was saying, we originated as part of, I blew my cover. I was going to say we all met on Tinder, but we all met as part of a meetup group,
a collective
of just game nights and stuff like that. And five or six of us branched off and made a trivia team. And we were recruiting people on Meetup for
quite
a long time. And we whittled it down to what we have today.
And I guess, you know, everybody that's playing trivia, I'm assuming they're kind of all friends, but I mean, maybe they're not, but I mean, we just got a good group of people that get along, and we've all got different interests. So,
I mean, but you're all obviously interested in something similar, going to the bar and answering questions.
Absolutely.
So you've got something in common.
We got lots of useless facts in our head.
Right.
I wouldn't call them useless anymore though.
Yeah, no, $1,000 richer, $2,000, $3,000.
Is it like the Stanley Cup? Like, who gets to keep the Quizzo Cup? Is it rotated in the same with the novelty check? What have you done with both of those?
Oh, we rotate the cup. I took it home just because nobody else seemed to want to take it home the other night.
And it's old hat for you guys anyway. Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say that, no.
Nobody
wants
to take my mantle for the Quizzo Cup every couple of months.
We're trying to make this sound like a big deal, and Brian's like, nobody really wanted it, so.
We get villained enough as it is. I don't need to come here and make
deal.
Us sound like pompous asses.
Because Brian, like, straps the cup in to the back seat with the seatbelt.
Love it. And then it sleeps with me.
The first time we won it, we were like, I don't know if anybody else wants it after Brian's done with it.
Oh, I have a reputation for being really excited about trivia.
Oh, don't soil the cup. Well, so here we go. You're headed into, we're doing the winter season, starting off the new year. Obviously, you guys are looking to repeat. So good luck to you. Hopefully we see you at the finals. Maybe we'll see you back here talking about your repeat.
All right.
You guys are sticking around as Dick Wolf this season. Is there a name change in the future?
No.
Don't fix it if it ain't broke, right?
Probably not until we go into a big tailspin like we did before, and then we'll get rid of it. But
that's like an NFL team firing their coach. Like, just hit the panic button.
Changing the logo, all that stuff, yeah.
It's marketing.
We'll have a big fight about it.
You'll show up in color rush jerseys the next time around. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we'll tailspin into our like VH1 Behind the Music, where we'll all like splinter off and resent each other and...
Somebody's gonna make a solo album.
Fall into alcoholism and
cocaine addiction.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Sorry. All right, guys. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you. Good luck this coming up season.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. Bump bump.
Nice.
It's the Quizzo Cast.
So, Tom, you were telling us off the air that before you actually came to the Quizzo Cup Finals, you had your own gig that you were hosting prior to, right?
I did. I filled in for Lauren. I took both of her gigs last week. It just was her. I was out at Mason's in Livonia Tuesday, but then it got one of the more spicy nights I've ever had hosting trivia.
Do tell.
And, it was Thursday night. Obviously, it was at Red Dunn, which is a swanky little restaurant. You never know what to expect when you walk into a brand new gig, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know about pub trivia, but it's typically hosted in pubs and not bougie restaurants. So, anyways,
do you want to call one of our clients bougie?
It's a good bougie. The food is great. The drinks are great. The staff was fabulous, and the night we had was fun. So I'm not, no disrespect to Red Dunn. Great spot. Take your girlfriend or your wife and go check it out.
Duly noted.
Right. So I go in. There's not a lot of trivia teams in here. You know, like as a host, I mean, as anybody with eyes, you can tell if these people are here for trivia or not. I see some couples. I see some people just sitting at the bar. Okay, so I set everything up. I get the music going. Off we go. We're doing our thing. And I get a few people at the bar to play, just a few single people.
Like, sure.
Okay, great. We're going to play the game. This will be fine. They make me a real nice drink. And we start kind of getting it going. So I tell everybody, like, all right, guys, you know, I know there's only three of you, but we're going to get started in about 10 minutes. Right when that happens, a party bus pulls up out front. Here we go. And it was a holiday party for a local real estate firm. And in they come, they're partying, everybody's having fun because they've been on a party bus and this is like the final stop where they're going to just kind of...
Are you now getting nervous or are you like jackpot?
It's a little bit of both because I was nervous when nobody was playing, but then I had my three teams. So yeah. It's like, okay, at least we can get this game off the ground.
Get your rhythm.
When the party bus comes in, like, guys, we can't start right now. We have to wait. So they're coming in. They see a guy with a microphone. Is this karaoke?
Oh, no.
No, but just you wait because it will be. So in they come. I kind of get a few of them. Like, they don't, like, have a team, but they, like, keep coming up listening to the questions and, like, playing. And, like, oh, shit, this is so fun. And then they run back to their party.
They're lurkers.
And they're hooting and hollering. So finally, I just physically give them a speaker. I turn it around so they can hear it because, like, you know what? You guys are part of the environment now. Like, we're going to do it. So we're playing, and they keep coming up, and they come up, and any good trivia host will bring some pens, right? One of my shticks at my gigs is I, like, beg for my pens. Like, I just make, like, I drive it into the ground. Please return my pen. It's not an early Christmas gift. You're like, you know, good karma. It's better than throwing a coin in a wishing well to return the pen. Like, send it back with its pen family. Like, that's my thing. So one of the guys who plays a tavern on the main, he is a real estate photographer. So he brings me, you can see where this is going. He brings me like 1,000 pens of this one real estate firm. So somebody comes up and they look, where'd you get this pen? It was that real estate agency.
No.
Who I have all of their pens came in. Great people. So I've got their pens and that brings a ton of them up into the room. We've got to stop the game. So now we're passing the microphone around. They're handing out mock awards. We break for karaoke.
What was sang?
Just whatever I was playing. I play a lot of Motown. Everybody knows it. Everybody likes it. So we were doing some Aretha. We were doing, you know, we were doing some Temptations. It was bananas. So I had a couple of drinks. We're hanging out with the real estate people. Forgot to do one of the bonus rounds. Don't be mad in their bucket. But we had a super wild night. And then after that, I boxed up, walked over to Brew Detroit, over to the finals, just with a big shit-eating grin on my face. And I'm like, you guys are not going to believe the freaking night I just had. Because bar trivia, it's very, like, especially when you've got, like, your gigs that you do over and over and over.
You've got
again.
Your regulars. You know what to expect when you walk in.
Yeah, it's the same night. Walk in, set up, boom, it's calm. I'm just at my table. I'm doing my thing. But like this, I was right next to the bar, and they're telling me to come to Mutiny afterwards. We're going to do karaoke. And I'm like, guys, I had enough karaoke. So it just got me thinking, do you have any, like, wild nights that went off the rail? We've also got Jason and, of course, Pajama Dan in here. Jason, you remember, is, as Dick Wolf was just calling him, the Jeopardy guy.
Jason Jeopardy guy is now his full legal name in terms of all Quizzo related
it was
items.
Interesting though, Mike from Dick Wolf, like, knew your episodes.
Well, I mean, his memory, like, the stuff he could remember just from the podcast was like, well, like he's going on about, like, that you and that Wisconsin girl didn't get along, and I was like, I had no idea what he was talking about at first, and then it dawned on me, like, from the podcast, like, oh, I don't even remember saying that.
We have listeners and they're actually recalling stuff, Tom. This is great.
I had somebody at Tavern on the Main last week say, oh, I really like the beer episode, and I was like, wait, you what? You heard the podcast? Amazing.
I will say one of my oddball nights was the night the power cord to my mixer died. So I had to host Quizzo a cappella. So I basically...
Where was this at?
Actually, it happened to me twice. It happened to me once at Avery's, and it happened to me once out in Clinton Township on the golf course. I can't think of the name of the... they're not a Quizzo bar anymore.
Floods.
Floods, yes.
Yes, not Fernhill, but Floods.
So I had... I
DJed two weddings at Floods.
Have you really?
Well, not at Floods, but like, you know, around in the banquet hall.
The golf course, yeah.
Everybody, they have the ceremony right there on the patio. It's lovely. Anyway.
So if you have four or five teams, you have to move quickly because you're literally walking from table to table and reading the question because depending on the bar, even my wife will tell you how loud I am, but I can only, my voice only carries so far, so I've got to walk around and read each table. So, and then there was the bar that I had, I won't mention the name, they're no longer a client, but there was the bar that was next
to
the...
No plug for you!
It was the bar next to the trailer park. And there were oftentimes a lot of folks that would come in slightly inebriated to get their $2 Miller Lite, Bud Light, Coors Light. Those are the only three beers they had on draft, by the way.
That's all you need, partner.
They would just yell shit like all night or yell out the answers. And like at one point, I actually had to have the cook at the bar like remove a guy because he was that bad. And he was actually like sitting.
Really?
It wasn't that he was yelling answers. I can handle that. But this one guy... You know the guy that's so hammered, he thinks he's best friends with everybody and has to tell everybody his life story?
That's me.
I've seen you drunk. It's way worse than you.
Okay.
But this guy came in like an American flag t-shirt off his snowmobile or something and came in. I'm looking around and the teams are kind of looking at me for some sort of guidance because I'm the MC for the night. And I'm like, it got to the point where he was bothering our customers.
Sure.
And at that point, it's like, okay. You don't got to go home, but you can't stay here. Get on your bike and try to pedal home. It was not good.
That sounds like a typical night up at the Maple, right?
I was going to say, hearing these stories makes me glad that I am also in the bougie restaurant location crowd because I've fortunately not had to deal with hecklers. Or
don't you have to wear a suit to that gig?
Just a shirt and tie. You don't have to wear the jacket.
All right.
The jacket's optional. I will say when I trained, two of my three trainings, which one of them was Jason and one was a Tom.
Yeah.
And like the Maple, I think, was my second night of training, I think.
I think it was.
And I'm like, this is a really high-end kind of thing we're doing here. Wow, I guess I was wrong.
I guess, we went from Tavern on the Main to Maple when we both had Wednesday gigs, I think we were like the exact opposite.
Yeah,
gigs.
You had Maple and I had the trailer park bar.
Yeah, I was in Bloomfield, you were next to the trailer park.
I was in Kego, baby. So what kind of drama do you run into at the bougie bar, Jason?
I joke that it's the only Quizzo venue where I will occasionally be told that I'm too loud. Because I'm in the coffee house / kitchen next to the theater, and like if I am heard in the theater, like they will complain. So I have to be careful that the people in the back can hear me, but I can't be too loud that I'm all the way to the theater. So
and
it's an interesting balance.
You've said before it's the only Quizzo gig you believe where there is more wine than beer.
Yes, I believe my players drink more wine than beer over the course of the game.
Well, I mean, what are your team names? You're like Pythagorean Theorem. And they're just,
So when I started at Maple, there was a team called Evelyn's Shitty Diapers. And it was a married couple, like obviously, and their infant / toddler. And
Did they bring the toddler?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she was probably less than a year old at that point. I had just started and I was like, I just was not 100% comfortable saying the word, you know, shitty over the microphone like 3-4 times a night. So
bless
I called
your heart,
so
Jason.
Evelyn's Poopy Diapers.
Okay.
And then we did have the soothsaying. I don't remember if they were the soothsaying mofos or that's what I turned their name into. I think it was I censored their name to the soothsaying mofos. But yeah, we get the interesting, funny, you know, trivia names just like everywhere else.
And I think that's interesting because I think Tom, you'll agree with me here, is the number of times you can drop an F-bomb on a mic really depends on the bar that you're in.
100%.
Like the trailer park bar, it was like I was back home in Boston. Every other word out of my mouth was the F-bomb.
You're not dropping enough F-bombs.
Exactly.
Just plug an F-bomb into the question. Just
at Avery's now, it's like a very occasionally strategically placed one where like where if somebody writes it as an answer and I'll say, I'm sorry, I cannot accept I have no fucking clue as an answer for number 5, and usually gets a laugh. So
yeah, usually if you save it till the end and you make it real crisp and clear and easy to hear, that's when they work the best for me.
Dan, any horror stories to share? Or?
I just started hosting, so nothing bad has happened yet.
Where are you hosting at?
G. Willie's in St. Clair Shores, 13 and Harper.
You got any drunk hecklers yet?
I did have one team my second night. Hey, what's your name so we can start heckling you?
How polite, though.
So I called them Pajama Dan, and they're like, all right, Jimmy. And then the rest of the night, they call me Jimmy. Then I called them Jimmy, and one was a woman, so she liked that. Stuff nice. Like that. Nothing too bad yet.
Overall,
actually,
go ahead.
This conversation about foul language actually reminds me of my greatest, biggest hosting gaffe. Mm-hmm. So I play like
this
one.
Is just buried? We had to dig this out of you?
It was kind of like, you know, the Steelers-Patriots game, how John had talked about how he blocked that out. I had blocked this incident out.
Thanks again. Thanks. Appreciate it.
You can't edit that out. You cannot edit that out.
All right.
That's got to stay.
So anyway, I kind of taught John this, is that I will play like one song like per question, and usually the song is kind of a reference to the question in some way. It helps me like do the playlist and kind of helps me like narrow down my options. In this case, I can't remember why, but I wanted the song Doo Wah Diddy. And so I look in Mixmeister, and there's Doo Wah Diddy, and it's by Two Live Crew. Now, I don't know.
Jesus,
like,
Christ.
I didn't know that was the name of that. So I pop
the look
it in.
Look at my wife's face right now.
So I pop it in. I read the question. I hit play.
Please tell me we're at the maple.
I'm not paying attention to the song. And it starts, and it's Doo Wah Diddy, and okay. And so I'm like, you know, I'm catching up on scores. I'm doing something else. And then all of a sudden, over the microphone, hear, suck my dick. And so I immediately turn the music off and, like, moving on to question number four. And, of course, everybody in the place is laughing.
Oh, my God.
Which is probably a better reaction than you could have had.
I'm still grateful. I look back and I'm like, I could have been fired.
People in Quizzo have done.
The part of that story is that he then sent me an email, like, vigorously apologizing. Saying like, oh, if somebody says anything
about this, I'm so sorry. I'll never have it again. So if you hear any complaints about the song I played, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to. Like, I'll explain.
Jason
later.
With the preemptive apology.
Preemptive apology. Please don't fire me. I'm sorry. I'll do better.
I made an off-color Cosby joke one night. And I got a phone call from the boss.
Oh.
From wherever in the country he was. So I had to go to the next time at the gig, I had to find the team. And you guys, you're right. That was a little too colorful. I apologize. So,
I've
been reprimanded.
One guy in radio once told me you got to cross that line every once in a while to know where
it is.
Exactly.
You got to cross
it. I don't know
it.
If a Cosby joke is necessarily the way to go about doing that.
Oh,
but
and it was timely, too.
Oh, I'm sure it
like
was.
It was fresh.
See, you could probably do it now. It's just that it was too soon back then.
Yeah, it was certified fresh. So I got one more gaffe while we're talking about it. I was hosting down at Three Nick Scoreboard down in Allen Park.
Hmm.
You know, listen, it's not really a trivia bar, but we had some fun in there, man. Like, I would just get the softball teams going. We'd be hooting and hollering, but we're hosting. It's midsummer. There's a big storm. We're going right into round six. I just wrapped up the IBQ, heading into round six, and power's out. Completely black in the bar. There is no generator. The only little light we have is from the door that's propped open and the glow off my laptop. So I just yell, "We still gonna do this, sir?" And everybody, "Hell yeah, we're gonna do it." So I just, they don't all have Southern accents. That was rude. Anyway.
Stereotype much?
I like to put a drunk person in a Southern accent.
Okay.
You know, I just
feel. So they didn't all have Southern accents, but they were all drunk.
100%.
Just to be clear.
We were, yes. The barbacks, me, the cooks. There's a lot going on. Power goes out. So we just did the last round a cappella. Everybody sat at their tables in the dark, it's like completely dark, like basement with the lights off. Finished the game, we had a great time, and when I left, there was people still sitting at the bar saying, "Oh, you know, Sandy, those beers are gonna go bad. You better get them out of the cooler. We'll take them half price. It's not a big deal."
Win-win.
So that was my other big one.
Sandy's very my nice. Mom's name. You just made that really a little too real for me. But
come on, Sandy. So those are our those are some of our gaffes here.
It's the Quizzocast.
You've heard us talking a lot about Jag's wife tonight, John's wife. That's not your name here. That's his nickname, if you guys didn't know. We brought John's wife in because it is a special occasion. We have a birthday. John, oh man, it's your birthday today.
It is indeed. We're recording this on Tuesday night.
And you are so wonderful to spend it with us. So why don't you introduce your wife?
The beautiful Ms. Ellen is here. She is not quite the microphone hog that I am. She's a little bit, I won't say she's afraid of the microphone, but she's a little bit.
Just move the microphone closer to me.
Because you, and Dan is moving it even closer now. So I will
you tell them to do that?
I will give my wife props on several accounts before we start. And not just because happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, okay.
She did pick up the cake from Holiday Market that we've been enjoying, so thank you for that. And also, a lot of times when I'm writing the questions ahead of time to make sure I've got a good feel for them and getting my playlist ahead of time, when she comes from work while we're making dinner, I'll read the questions to her, and she likes to play along and see how well she can get them.
I do like to play along. I'm not very good.
You get mad when you don't know the answers.
It's like that, huh? A
little bit.
Keep in mind our head writer is sitting approximately a foot and a half to your left right now.
Jimmy. I've come a few times to Avery's. Lest there be any doubt that I'm cheating, I'm usually somewhere near the bottom.
You are.
So.
When you go out, do you just play on a solo team, just hang out by the bar, or do you drag somebody along with you?
It's usually been with somebody else.
Okay.
The one time I think I went by myself, I was the lovely assistant.
She was the Vanna to my Pat Sajak.
Oh, very nice. How do you celebrate birthdays in your 50s, John?
Listen, you damn millennial. Born in 1990. I remember 1990.
I've seen some pictures. It looked like a pretty good time. Looked like a good time. But we're talking about you. Don't change the subject. So you got any big birthday plans other than, your wonderful Quizzo community and the love of your life?
We've only married a year and a half, so it's still, exciting and fresh and everything.
Wow. It's not entirely, I mean.
It's not entirely exciting?
I did say last week as I got up to go to work, there's something that smells in the house. Can you find it? So that's really
And
romantic.
I did.
You did.
It was an onion from your sub that fell into a blanket on the couch, I should point out.
Nice.
That is married. For any of our listeners that are single, this is what married life is.
This is love. This is it. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Stinky onion. I like the task of it. Something stinks. Go find it. Mm-hmm. Off you go. Well, thanks for coming in. Thanks for bringing the cake, and thanks for letting us steal him. What is it, 4 nights a week of your time?
Sometimes.
It's the Quizzo Bar Spotlight.
Before we wrap up, Tom, you've got a big theme night coming up. If you're listening to this and it comes out on Thursday, it is tomorrow, the 21st, correct?
Yes. Simpsons trivia at the world-famous Bee Nectar Meadery in Ferndale. Simpsons trivia. Have we done a Simpsons trivia yet from Quizzo? Pajama Dan hasn't. He is he's a writer extraordinaire.
Yeah, not since I've been here, we haven't.
So how much of the trivia did you write, Dan?
I accidentally wrote most of it.
How did you accidentally write?
I was waiting for them to come into the document and help, but they took their time, so I wrote most of it on accident.
You're a take-the-bull-by-the-horns kind of guy, Dan.
Yeah.
You're not fucking around. People are slacking, you're just jumping right in.
Yeah, I'll just do it.
Just knock it out.
Yeah, I'll just knock it out instead of wait.
I don't know if we've done a Simpsons one, but we... You did 30 Rock Trivia at Bee Nectar
30
a couple,
Rock Trivia
Fridays ago.
Back in the day, we did Seinfeld at Bee Nectar, which I would still argue is probably one of the biggest crowds they've ever had that had nothing to do with their bottle releases. Because
it was a trivia about nothing.
I mean, that was horrible.
I got to laugh out of Jason. As long as I get...
That's not something you should be bragging about.
Ellen will tell you, as long as I get one laugh, I'm happy. I don't care where it comes from.
I apologize for encouraging him, Ellen.
But we have Bee Nectar. They've got a lot of just like the old barrels that they use to age the different products that they've just rolled out into the tap room as, tables. So I had teams of four all standing around one barrel playing Seinfeld trivia. So hopefully
we will get that for The Simpsons.
Hopefully we get another bananas night like that. I know I saw on our Quizzo group that there might be a Team Quizzo coming out. Is this true? Is this going
to
happen?
Yeah, we did invite hosts to come out and form a team. So we'll see who shows up for that. I can't play. But
obviously, you can play that.
You know, it's funny. I've been trying to get Ellen down to Bee Nectar because she enjoys a good cider. So we may have to join you guys on Friday night.
Come on out. See if you... the listener can beat the Team Quizzo and, experience one of the coolest places in Metro Detroit, in my opinion.
We've planned this show out at Bee Nectar, and it's a really cool spot, so yeah. It's definitely worth checking out.
We'll have to share a mead on
Friday.
We will. And by share, I'll get one, you get one.
Thank you for clarifying that. For everybody listening, have a great holiday, have a Merry Christmas, have a Happy New Year. We will talk to you with our first episode, which will be out in early January.
early January. Keep your eyes peeled. See you Friday night at Bee Nectar. Bye.
This has been the QuizzoCast. Listen to all of our episodes in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. Find Quizzo on Facebook and Instagram at Quizzo Detroit, or follow us on Twitter at Quizzo. See you at the bar.